and he's hoping to pick up a fourth win in the Belmont Stakes next Saturday. And he's with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Todd, good morning. Appreciate the visit, my friend.
My pleasure, Mike.
You know, I just had a talk with your mentor in the previous segment, George Weaver, after his big win with Vekoma last week, and looking ahead to today's Ogden Phipps. And, you know, he was talking about taking things that he learned in working with you and Wayne and Mark Hennig and applying it to his operation today. You know, as much success as you've had, that has to feel good, but it has to feel good when you see people that worked with you do well.
It is. You know, I think that's sort of the one thing. I think Wayne, you know, developed sort of a family tree of trainers and horsemen, and you know, I think everyone's always taken pride in you know, the fact that they were able to have a successful tenure with Wayne, and then, you know, kind of carry on that tradition when they branch out on their own. And you know, a lot of good friendships and camaraderies come from it.
Yeah, I want to talk about your horses in the Belmont next weekend, but before I do, I was just going through talking about the three horses that you've already won the Belmont with, and the first was Rags to Riches in 2007. Todd, that was the first ever national broadcast we did here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and really got us launched and off the ground, and what a way to kick things off for us. And I know that day for you, your first win in the Belmont with a filly, had to be really, really special.
Yeah, I say still to this date, that's the most exciting race that that we've won, and certainly you know, one for the ages. And just, you know, the way the whole thing unfolded, and the, you know, when she fell to her face leaving the gate, and then was able to recover, and, you know, and have a stretch long duel with Curlin, that just, you know, we're bobbing back and forth. I can't imagine a more exciting scenario, and, you know, for a filly to be able to beat horses of that quality at, you know, at the true classic distance of a mile and a half, it was just it was and still is just awesome to watch.
When you think about your other two, Palace Malice and Taprit, what things immediately come to mind?
Well, with Palace Malice, I mean, he was a horse that we felt was a little bit under the radar. You know, he hadn't had that breakthrough performance. He got in some trouble in the Louisiana Derby, kind of ran off on the front end with blinkers on in the Derby, in the sloppy, you know, in a sloppy track. But when he came back to Belmont, I mean, he was training lights out. His couple of breezes leading up to it, we really felt like we were going in with a chance. So, you know, it was great to see him deliver, you know, that big performance that we felt like he had in him. But it was also, for me, especially gratifying because it was for Dogwood Stable and Mr. and Mrs. Campbell and the Orifices and everyone involved with Dogwood. It, you know, played a big role early in my career and gave me an opportunity when I desperately needed one. And so that was, you know, to be able to win a classic for them was special.
Yeah, he was. I said that too. I thought he was under the radar, but jumped up in a big way that day in 2013. You come back 4 years later with Taprit. You win it for a third time. What do you remember about that day?
It was a similar thing. You know, we came back. We employed pretty much the same kind of strategy that we had with Palace Malice. You know, brought him back to Belmont. He trained very well here. And then the one thing I remember about that particular race was just, you know, the way the race unfolded and kind of the position we were able to get early on, and just, you know, having the entire game plan fall into place so perfectly. It just, that part of it felt great.
Talking with trainer Todd Pletcher here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Two horses slated for the Belmont next weekend, Dr. Post, Farmington Road. Tell me about each of them.
Well, both sons of Quality Road, and you know, sort of different types of horses in terms of I think demeanor and size. You know, they're both remind me of their sire in some ways. Dr. Post probably more so because he's a bigger, rangier horse, very, very similar in appearance to Quality Road himself. Farmington Road, a little bit uh, lighter made, very laid back, very push button, very easy to train. It's going to has a tendency to want to drop back a little further than would be ideal, but he does have a good sustained closing run, and you know, he'll benefit from a good honest pace, where I think Dr. Post probably is a little more tractable and probably put himself in a little better early position. But you know, just really happy with both horses. They look well, and they're training like you would like. And I think in Dr. Post's case, you know, he might be one of the horses that's benefiting the most from the delay of the Classic Series.
Yeah, lightly raced, only three starts. He's won two of those, including that big win in the Unbridled last time out at Gulfstream on April 25th. Todd, I thought that was visually impressive. How about you?
I thought it was very impressive. And one of the, you know, after the race, I felt once he was able to win, which didn't look like it was going to happen for most of the race, the one thing that we were pleased about was that he got a lot of experience, you know, because this is only his fourth start, and he's giving up a lot of seasoning to some high-quality horses like Tis the Law. But for only having three starts in the Unbridled, he got about every part of the education you would want. You know, he got dirt in his face. He was in between horses. He got pushed around a little bit. He had to make room for himself at the top of the stretch. And you know, he was able to do all of that against some horses that had some good form and had some experience. And once he got clear, he kind of won with ease and pricked his ears coming to the wire. So for a horse that needed some seasoning, I thought he got the equivalent of two or three races out of that.
Yeah, and Farmington Road has struggled a bit when you've had him in Great Estates Company. Fourth in the Risen Star in February, came back with a fourth place finish in the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby on May 2nd behind Nadal. What gives you the confidence that he fits in a race like the Belmont?
You know, I think his Louisiana Derby was or his race in the Risen Star was sneaky good. And it's just the thing he hasn't really been able to get is that great pace scenario in the right kind of track. I think Oaklawn was carrying speed, and so he was always kind of against the grain of the track. I think he's a horse that would greatly benefit from a truly run race with a good honest pace that would allow Javier Castellano to just be able to sit on him and make one run. You know, we've kind of been having to take him a little bit out of his element and trying to stay a little closer because, you know, the track's at Oaklawn, especially on Arkansas Derby Day, it was hard to make up a lot of ground. So, you know, just hopefully a good, honest pace, and he's able to improve his early position on his own without having to be asked. And then if he can do that and put in a good, sustained run, I think he's a very honest horse that shows up and gives you that effort every time. He's just kind of looking for the right scenario.
Yeah, you know, the Triple Crown, Todd, is nothing like we're used to seeing it. It's completely different this year, obviously, because of COVID-19, and that's understandable. The Belmont, now the first leg for the first time in history, and no longer that demanding mile-and-a-half test of the champion. Instead, a one-turn mile-and-an-eighth. Does that alter the way you prepare a horse for a classic race such as this?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the Belmont, when it's at the traditional distance of a mile and a half, is usually kind of the culmination of a series of races that you've built up to the mile and a half. And, you know, the Peter Pan historically has been a great prep and mile and an eighth race over the track 4 weeks before. And, you know, the coming out of the Derby, or in Rags to Riches' case, the Kentucky Oaks 5 weeks before. You know, those horses have a really good foundation leading up to it. So, in this case, with Farmington Road, he had the type of foundation leading into this that if it were a mile and a half, it would be fine. A horse like this you'd be a little worried about with having only had a 7 furlong and a mile and 16th race so far. But usually it's horses that have success in the traditional Belmont are horses that, you know, have the right style, have the right pedigree, but they also have the right foundation of races leading up to it. So be a little less important in this scenario.
You also had Gouverneur Morris, who was pointing toward the Belmont, but instead will now go to the Bluegrass Stakes during their July meet here at Keeneland in Lexington. Talk about that decision.
Well, you know, we had really been on the on the bubble of which race was the right race for him. And he was a quality second in the Breeders' Futurity and only his second start as a two-year-old. And he was second to Maxfield that day. So, you know, we were kind of bouncing back and forth. What's the right race? Is it the Belmont or waiting until the Bluegrass? And at the time, it looked like, you know, Maxfield was going to go to the Bluegrass, which seemingly made it a difficult race. So with this being at Belmont and kind of having him ready, we felt like, if Maxfield's going to be in the Bluegrass, then maybe we'll just take what's right in front of us and give the Belmont a shot. When the complexion of that race changed, sort of swayed the decision back towards the Bluegrass.
Visiting with trainer Todd Pletcher here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Todd, I know you've got a bunch of things to get to, so I won't keep you much longer, but with the Ogden Phipps being run Saturday afternoon at Belmont, it's a race that you've won three times. You won't be participating this year, but I thought it would be fun just to look back quickly on the three horses that you won it with, including A Shadow, who was a filly that I thought was just so brilliant. Obviously, all three of your winners were brilliant, but A Shadow really captured my heart back in 2005.
Yeah, that was a big win. She'd made two starts off the bench and the Apple Blossom and the DuPont at Pimlico, and she hadn't quite fired her A race yet. So, you know, she was coming off season of being winning the Distaff as a three-year-old and the Kentucky Oaks as a three-year-old and being champion three-year-old filly. So we felt like maybe we'd left her a little bit not quite at her best for her first two starts, and she was starting to round into form and get her fitness level up. And then, you know, she showed that in the Ogden Phipps with a pretty dominant performance. So it was really one of those, you know, it was just great to see her back at her very best. And, you know, that was the first win of the year that eventually led to being champion Older Mare as well.
Yeah, she was special. And then Life at 10 and Awesome Maria in 2010 and 2011 giving you back-to-back victories in the Ogden Phipps. And I know that those two horses will always be special to you.
Yeah, really. Both of those fillies were exceptionally talented. And Life at 10 had a great run. Awesome Maria for Mr. Robsham, that was a lot of fun with her as well. She had a tremendous amount of talent. Just both of those, as was A Shadow. You know, they were just the types that, you know, they were good early on. They were good when they got older. They were good at multiple distances. Just, you know, really pleasures to train. And certainly the Ogden Phipps and the prestige of that race, those were all three of some of their biggest wins.
Trainer Todd Pletcher in search of a fourth Belmont Stakes victory coming up next Saturday, a race you'll hear exclusively with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Really appreciate it, Todd. Good luck, and thanks so much for the time here this morning, my friend.
Okay, Mike. Take care. Thank you.